Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, my brothers and my sisters, and welcome once again to the PR Table. I'm your host, Dr. Nate Dunlap. Also sitting here at the table with us is Mary Ann Williams. And around the table, she's known as Mama. Everybody calls her Mama here. So, Mama, how are you doing this evening?
I'm doing fine, thank you. And how is my PRF family doing this evening? Glad to be with you all. One more
Amen.
Time.
That's right, one more time, because, you know, really we never know when the last time is going to be, so we have to cherish every moment. So we're going to cherish this next hour, or maybe it's going to be less. We're going to see whenever God tells us to cut it off. If it's before then, we'll cut it off before then. But here at the PRF Table, we are really about making sure that we are doing everything in our power possible, and not our power, not our own strength, but the strength that Christ gives to us, doing everything that we can possible to make sure that we are giving you everything that we have. In all the different areas that we cover in PRF. And for those who may be joining for the first time, PRF stands for Possessions, Resources, and Finances. This is a financial-based teaching ministry that does more than just talk about money. So if it was all about money, then we would not have possessions and resources inside of the title of this show. And it's kind of ironic, if you will, Mama, that finances is the last word. I mean, we could have had finances, resources, and possessions, finances, possession, and resources, but finances is the last word in the name of this title for PRF, and it's intentional. I believe it's intentional because what is so important is how we understand the resources that we have, how we make sure that we use them, not abuse them, and how everything is so interconnected with one another. If you've been with us, you know that every month we come out with a new topic. God gives us a new topic to just talk about, deal with, disagree on, wrestle with, search scriptures with. And this month, we're dealing with financial healing as a spiritual gift. Now, we understand here at the PRF Table that sometimes some of the things that we say, some of the titles that we use may be like, huh, what in the world are these jokers talking about? Because it's not a sermon title. Right. That's not what we're trying to focus on right now. We're trying to focus on what is it that we're talking about. And that's what we're trying to give to you. So we're talking about financial healing as a spiritual gift. And if you've been with us more than the last couple of weeks, you recognize that God has a lot to say about what he is trying to get across to us. Listen to what I said. He has a lot to say about what he's trying to get across to us. So what he's already said, he's trying to get across to us, but he's also trying to say it today. So what he's written in the past is relevant for today, and he continues to still speak. And so it's up to us as individuals, as believers, as people who are supposed to love one another to make sure that we are grasping what God is saying in this season. And what he's saying in the season is, I am tired of my people who are called by my name, not receiving the financial healing that I have ready and willing to give to this, to my people. I'm ready and willing and able to give it. You know, it's a father. As God, our Heavenly Father, loves to shower us with gifts and give us gifts. And when Paul spoke of and listed several spiritual gifts in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, first of all, biblical scholars, that is not the time to say that those are the only spiritual gifts out there, the one that Paul can name. That lets you know that you have a flawed understanding about spiritual gifts, because if you can identify every spiritual gift that God has out there, then that means that God has not given any other spiritual gift other than the ones that man said, here's the ones that it is. Doesn't make sense. So how do we come up with this whole notion of spiritual gift or financial healing as a spiritual gift? And how this came about was, as we've been dealing with healing even from the beginning of the year, that's how we start off the year, and God still has us in this space. When you think about healing, most people, as we talked about last week, Mama, and I talked about it earlier on the other show we had earlier today, is really simple. People think so much about physical healing when we talk about healing, especially within the church. That is just so boxing God in. So we don't want to box God in. What God showed me was financial healing is a part of healing. What is healing? Healing is a natural process in which the body repairs itself. And I'll keep saying it, Mama. I'm going to keep saying it. We as the body of Christ, we are the ones that God has given spiritual gifts to. God has not given the spiritual gift. And, you know, I don't like polarizing anybody, but I'll just make it real simple. God, I don't understand if God gave the spiritual gift or how God, somebody could say they have the spiritual gift based upon the gifts that we know and understand. If they don't believe and the Holy Spirit has not given it to them. So somebody who just doesn't believe in Christ, doesn't believe in God, for them to be operating with a spiritual gift, it just doesn't make sense. It's not logical to even think that way. So that means the only other alternative out there is spiritual gift lies within the body of Christ. Those who have accepted Christ as his personal Lord and Savior. So since we've accepted Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, then that means when he said back in John, As I leave, I send you a comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, which is to comfort you, which is to guide you in all things. And that's what the Holy Spirit is doing. And that's where those gifts come in at, those gifts that God has deposited in each one of us. And see, I don't know which gift he's giving you, Mama. I don't know what gifts he's given to Shatara or D or Brother Feaster. I don't know. But I know that everybody has at least one gift because he sent that. Because listen. It would make sense to say, and we're practical. We're practical with the Bible and spirituality. If you don't believe that you have at least one gift, then what is it that God gave? Just a spirit to lie there dormant? It does not make sense. It defies even just the weakest knowledge. It doesn't make sense. So we can't even have that mindset. So here's what we got going on. We're saying, look, healing is such a broad thing. It is so large because at the end of the day, God is the one who ultimately provides the gift of healing. Now, I can say that the gift of healing is only representative of physical. Can't say it. Well, let me take that back, Mama. I can say it, but I would sound like a fool because then I'm saying that the only way God can heal is physical. So that means I can never experience the spiritual gift of healing unless something is physically wrong with me. No, I just don't see my God like that. So what other areas are going on? What other things are going on in my life where that same whole process of healing is applicable and can be applicable and I can tap into it as one of the children of the Most High God? And financially, listen, if so many people are dealing with matters and concerns of finances.
Yes.
And then you got people that's calling on God, giving their hands to the preacher, saying, you know what, I'm going to accept this Jesus Christ because I know I got some jacked up finances. I ain't going to let everybody else know it right now, but I'm so tired. And see, that's what those type of things have people broken inside of churches on Sunday mornings and broken on Wednesday night prayer meetings. And so then they come up and they say, I need to get relief from this because it's boggling my mind, because it's breaking me down, because it's destroying my family. People are saying these things, Mama. And so as they're saying these things, what I hear God saying and all of that is, I want to heal you financially of that because I don't like you feeling like that because you're my child. I created you in my image and after our likeness. And so since I created you in my image and after our likeness, I cannot want for you to hurt because that means I want for myself to hurt. And if I want for myself to hurt, what kind of God is that? Why would I want a God that says, I don't mind hurting. So if I don't mind myself hurting, then of course the people who I created, I could care less about them. Jesus said it real clear. He says, the greatest commandment is the second, which is likened unto the first, which is, right, the first one was love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, or your heart, mind, soul, and strength, depending on where you come from. Then he says, love your neighbor as yourself. And it also says, love ye one another. So I have to have the mindset, Mama, that in order to love my neighbor as myself, then that means whenever God heals me financially, right? I'm not saying whenever God heals me financially, then there should be something inside of me that says, you know what? I want somebody else to experience this. So why not be the type of individual, the type of believer, the type of light in the dark world, and be able to say, you know what, God, for the person this who this fits, right? I'm speaking for you. You say, you know what? My credit is jacked up. Lord, I need you to heal this. I need you to heal my credit. Then I can see God saying, okay, well, since you just made some decisions that jacked it up about a year ago, then you already know the law of the land. It says 7 years. That means you got 6 years. And so during these 6 years, what I'm going to do is I'm going to be with you. I'm going to walk with you every step of the way. But what I need you to do, my brother, what I need you to do, my sister or my child, God was saying, I need you to take the steps necessary to make sure, one, that you don't go back to the same place that you were to making these decisions. And two, I got to make sure that you're going to appreciate what I've done for you. And see, here's the thing. God may not say it like I just said, but I can say it for him. See, that's what God is looking for. So I wanted to make sure that we understood when we were talking about financial healing as a spiritual gift. It's not about the box. It's not about what's in the box. It's not the bow on the box. We have to understand gifts as something totally, totally different. One of the things that we can look at when we look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and deal with gifts is let's get you a foundation. So go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and you'll see what Paul is saying to the church at Corinth, and you'll be able to understand, I promise you, because it's not hard. You'll be able to see several different gifts in there, and you'll be able to see what Paul is saying to these people, and it applies today. One of the things he says is this: my brothers and sisters, regarding your question about the special abilities that the Spirit gives to us, I don't want you to misunderstand this, and I'm saying the same thing. Don't want you to misunderstand this, y'all. Don't misunderstand this whole notion of healing, this whole gift of healing, this spiritual gift of healing, as if it just means one thing. So I'm telling you, same way Paul was talking to them, I'm talking to y'all. I don't want you to misunderstand it. He said, you know, when you were still pagans, you were led astray and swept along, worshiping speechless idols. So I want you to know that no one speaking by the Spirit of God will curse Jesus, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. So we can't even go and do this type of work, myself, you, Adia, Shatara, and I. We can't even do this without the Holy Spirit guiding us, without it being the focus point, the primary thing that's operating in our life, because that's what Jesus left behind. I love it. I love it. We're talking about a spiritual gift. We're talking about financial healing. And the fact that Jesus left behind these things and sent them for us, oh, my goodness, that is just, like, so powerful to me. And here's what Paul says. Paul says there are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit is the source of them all. So since Paul has already said, and so many of y'all like Paul, especially y'all church folks, so many of y'all like Paul, he said there's so many spiritual gifts, but it's the same Spirit is the source of them all. So if the same Spirit is the source of them all, you have to be willing to embrace that your financial healing, again, healing as a spiritual gift, you have to be willing to embrace that part of it. The same Spirit is the source of it all. So now when you say, what are we talking about? The same Spirit, we know that what Paul is talking about is the Holy Spirit. He's not talking about any other spirit except for the Holy Spirit. And then he says in verse 7, a spiritual gift is given to each one of us so that we can help another, so that we can help each other. Oh, my goodness. Okay, so God gives me a spiritual gift to be able to help somebody else. It means so I can't come to PRF learning sessions. Right, I can't just come to PRF learning sessions trying to get my own stuff together.
Right?
Because again, what are we talking about? We're talking about healing as a spiritual gift. And so, if God gives this healing to you, then it's not for you to be able to say, you know what? If I get in a little situation, I get in a little trouble. Ooh, thank you, Lord, that you gave me the spiritual gift of healing. I can lay hands on myself, but you never lay hands on anybody else. See, Paul tells us directly from the beginning, and everybody around me that knows me is like, you are talking about Paul like that? Because I never already talk about Paul, right? That's just not me. But it's so relevant. If he gives you a spiritual gift, it's so we can help one another. And so that takes this whole thing about financial healing as a spiritual gift, and it puts it into a whole different context. That means it's not about my situation. Nope. You can benefit from it, but that's not the purpose. So that you and only your household can benefit from it. No. That's not why he gave it. And see, that's why it may be so difficult to be able to understand, Mama, why so many people can't embrace this whole notion of financial healing as a spiritual gift, because they're not seeing it for what it can be done for somebody else. They're only seeing what can be done for them.
Yes.
Okay. So I want us to just think about a couple of things. I remember, I don't know, it may have been this year or it may have been last year, but I remember Adia, we were talking about financial healing, you know, receiving your financial healing earlier this year, that month with Pastor Carmichael up in It Is Well Church in New Jersey. I remember her talking about the song by Marvin Gaye. Y'all know the name of the song, but it got healing in the word, in the title. And I thought about how I think she was saying how our bodies need certain things, right?
Yes.
So I don't know who said it, but I remember that the conversation was around vitamin C. You need vitamin C to protect your body and keep it healthy. You need vitamin D because vitamin D maintains or works for the maintenance of healthy bones and teeth, right? And protein repairs tissues and builds muscles back up when things have been torn down, and that's a good one from where we're at, because so many people have financial situations that have been torn down and they need some type of protein. But if you don't know where to get it from, or you just go buy some cheap stuff and think that it's going to build your muscles back up, you got the wrong thing coming. You got to go directly to the source. You got to go to the source. We're talking about rebuilding, and the source is us. Let me take that back. The resource is us, but the source is God. So God has already provided the source. Now he's provided the source in us as resources. So the resources, those of us who God has given these various spiritual gifts to, have to operate in them. I cannot see, as always, hindsight is 20/20, and you can sharpshoot and play Monday morning quarterback and all that stuff. But I just imagine as a pastor of a congregation, right? If God had me in that position, if he called me to that type of ministry, I can't imagine being a pastor of a congregation, especially in today's world, Mama. I just can't. And not just constantly saying, we want to deal with these gifts because we got to know what you have. Because if you don't know what you have, then you're sitting on something that God has given you. And if you're sitting on something God has given you, it's your fault why the body ain't blessed like it needs to be. Okay, so our bodies need certain things. Our bodies need sleep. Our bodies need to be kept clean. And so this whole thing about financial healing as a spiritual gift, I want to ask, how do we deal with that? How do we even understand financial healing as a spiritual gift? You notice I'm saying it over and over and over again because it needs to be something that's etched in people's minds by the time we get to this fourth or fifth episode of this month. As we deal with this, I envision that we're really talking to two groups of people, Mama.
Yes.
I see us talking to two groups of people that are actually listening to us. The first group of people are those that are willing to answer questions.
Yes.
Okay. Y'all can down listening. The first group of people are people who answer the question or answer questions. And the second group of people are those who ignore the question or ignore the questions. And so when you take those two type of people, this now it's up to you to say, okay, who am I? See, who am I? Am I the ones who answers the question when the questions come up, or am I the one to ignore them? Because that's important to receiving your financial healing and understanding this whole notion of financial healing as a spiritual gift. Because when you look at the two types of people, I remember Adia Mavis said this, when it comes to taking care of our bodies, what would the answer be to the question about you doing everything that you're supposed to do? Are you doing everything that you're supposed to do? I'll put it into the question. Are you doing everything that you're supposed to do regarding your personal, your possession, your resources, and finance? Are you doing everything? I'm not talking about perfection. You know what I'm talking about, because you know what you're doing and what you're not doing. You know if you got no money in the bank, in your savings account. The question is, are you doing everything that you're supposed to do when it comes to a savings? See, nobody says that you have to have $1 million in your savings, but you know if you spend money where you could save. You know if you're going out to eat 5 days a week versus where you can break it down 4 times a week, and then you can put 1 day of that week into the cookie jar. See, you can do it. So the question again, are you doing everything that you're supposed to? The second question is, do you even need financial healing? Do you even need it? See, we can't even get to this point of, oh, I want God to give me financial healing. I want to receive this gift that he has. Do you even need it? See, there's something, I think I was talking to somebody before, you can hoard stuff. You can want all types of stuff for yourself. And the reality is, if somebody needs a dollar from me and I have a dollar and I give it to you, then I don't have it to give it to that other person. So the reality is, when we're talking about God's gifts, they need to be utilized in the right way and for the right people. What about the knowledge? Do you have the knowledge to even recognize or understand what a spiritual gift is? So if you want financial healing, if you want it through a spiritual gift, but you don't even know what a spiritual gift is because you can't even embrace the fact that healing is a part, financial healing is a part of healing, but you don't want to embrace it because that's not what's being taught in your church. Okay, can I tell you how much stuff ain't being taught in your church? The reality is 52 weeks per year, just like everybody else. And so nobody, no church out there can possibly totally teach the Bible. Too much information. You can't even teach the whole, you can't even teach everything in the Bible in 20 years. So let alone in 52 weeks. Come on, let's be real, y'all. Do you have what you need to make the important decisions about your possessions, your resources, and finances? See, again, if God is going to give it to you, then there's a purpose for it, right? God does not give any gifts to his people, to us, if there's not a purpose for it. Okay. Mama,
yeah.
if you didn't have a driver's license,
right.
A family member can say to you, Sister Mary, a church member can say to you, Sister Mary, I know you don't have a car, but we want to bless you with a car. You ain't got license the first. So the reality is that gift that they just gave you or they're planning on giving you is not going to be utilized.
Right.
Now what that gift has done is deprived somebody else of a blessing. But see, you can't say, oh, praise God. You can't sit there and every day look out your window and say, oh, look at that nice pretty car, because there's people walking right now. There's people about to get fired from their job because they can't get a ride to work. So somebody that got their car repossessed. So we have to say, okay, what does it mean to have financial healing as a spiritual gift? Well, again, you understand what healing means, the natural process in which the body repairs itself. You know it's up to us to fix the problems that's going on with God's help, so we don't have to turn to nobody else. Every problem within a believer should be able to be handled within the body of Christ. Now, listen to what I said. I said within the body of Christ. I did not say handled within your church. Uh-oh, I done wrecked some people's mindsets, because now people are saying, oh, everything's not supposed to be here. Duh, everything is not supposed to be inside of your church. That's why we have so many of the financially related problems that's going on in our communities, that's going on in some of y'all churches, in your churches that's listening, by your leadership, lack of leadership, all that things, because so many people don't want to deal with other folks and think that their body, their own individual body, is all that matters. If you go back and you read what's going on, what Paul is talking about in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, he makes it really, really clear that we cannot survive this thing without it, without each other.
Yes.
And yes, he was talking to the Corinthian church, or churches at Corinth. Yes, that's who he was talking to. But if you want to be so ignorant to believe that that was not a global message versus an individual church message, shame on you. Because if you take that mindset that it was only about the Corinth, the churches at Corinth, then therefore there should be no other spiritual gifts, and it can't apply to no other church but the Corinthian churches. Okay, no, you're not going to say that. That's not right, Brother Dunlap. Dr. Dunlap, that can't be right. Of course, he wasn't just talking about one church. Well, if he wasn't just talking about just one church or those group of churches in Corinth, then therefore that means everything that he was talking about is applicable across the board, which means we have to do a very much better job at making sure that we are not polarizing ourselves as communities of faith, as individual churches, as churches of different denominations. We cannot do it. Whatever God has for his people to heal his people financially is sitting in somebody's church, in my community, in your community, in your state, across this nation. And if you don't get up and go get it, and if you sit there and say, you know, I'm just going to wait until Pastor talk about it, shame on you. Shame on you. Let me get back to Mama. You just please jump in. I'm going to throw something out here. So let's talk about these groups of people. You know, talk about y'all who are listening. You one or two, either people who ignore those questions, right, or similar ones, or you're the ones that answer. Here's the deal with answering the question. Once you answer the question, do I need financial healing? Am I doing everything that I'm supposed to be doing, right? Do I have the education? When you do that, you start opening up a door for God to do some things that you just can never, ever, ever even imagine. You can't, listen, you can't imagine what God would do if you just take the time to acknowledge and answer what's going on. I'm telling you, you just can't do it. So I'm focusing some of the attention tonight on dealing with this from this perspective because I want to make sure that people get it.
Yes.
I want to make sure. Go ahead, Mama. Go ahead and give us something, please. I'm going to be quiet. Talk to us, please, Mama. You be quiet, holding your mouth all this time.
Okay. As you already discussed, sir, chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians, chapter 12. And he says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. And that's, God do not want us ignorant of these gifts. So it has to be gifts there that he does not want us to be ignorant of. And there has to also be a development of our gifts. And
right,
he gives us opportunity to get the knowledge that we need. So because this is something that he wants us to share and people really need. And so if we allow ourselves to allow the Holy Ghost to guide, teach, and lead us, as he said, in all truth, that means that we have to submit ourselves to the truth that these are gifts, and financial healing is a gift. And I'm just coming from another point of view of it. When our finances are not in order, it can take a serious turn, give us stress, and then there. From that, it can come all kinds of sickness and disease, opens up the door for all types of sicknesses and diseases. So he wants us to, God wants us to get the understanding of it. And as Paul here is explaining it, that it's not just me, myself, and I. We're going to do this together. And so that we can go out and we can share. And if someone that... whomever the leader is, God will equip that leader to help. I'm saying that particular harvest that God has placed, the person he's placed over them. So we don't have to be ignorant if we choose not to be, because he's given us the knowledge as we're discussing now. You know, it's opening up our knowledge. You know, about this is a gift. It's not just a finances, you know, like a finance department. No, it's a gift to be shared with everyone. And so we can't be selfish because now I have mine and you get yours. No, God wants us all to prosper. He wants us all to be in good health. You know, he wants us because he has an expected end for us. And so truly we're going to have our trials and our tribulations. But there are also others that will help and lift us up when we do fall, if we allow ourselves to be taught.
That's right. That's right.
Amen.
And let me just, I don't want to say clarify, but for lack of a better word, let me clarify. When Paul says that we all have, that God has given each one of us a spiritual gift, understand that we're dealing with from two, what we're talking about tonight, we're dealing with it from two vantage points. We're talking about financial healing coming as a gift from God to us, and then receiving that gift that he's given to us. But we can't look at it and not talk about the gift of healing that he has given to certain people for other people. See, I could be the recipient of financial healing and receive that gift as a recipient. But then there's some of us who God has given the gift of healing to, which means that he's given it to you so that you can go and heal others in the name of Jesus. Now, those are two different vantage points. So that doesn't mean that everybody has this gift of financial healing, so to speak, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying that. But you got to understand. And here's the thing. You said something very key and something critical. You said, look, when people are going through financial challenges, it causes all types of other problems. And mama, you just don't know how important that is, because when those health problems come, because people are stressed out, right? Because husbands and wives are at each other, and emotional problems, all of the other stuff that comes, I'm about to go into another point, but as the other stuff comes, then what people are looking for God to do is to heal them. See, this is why we got to be very understanding of, are you answering the question or are you the ones that ignore the question? When you answer the question, you got the greatest potential to receive the gift. Whether you receive the gift from God to be able to help people, or whether you are the beneficiary of somebody who has been given the gift to help people, and you're one of the people that get help. See, I don't want to receive the gift from ungodly folks. And let me clarify what I mean by that. I want to receive these gifts. I'm telling you what I want. Not saying I would never accept, but I'm telling you, I'd rather have the benefit of saying, wow, this came from God, and knowing that this was a blessing from God. That's what I mean. So let's you know, no hate mail, no hate emails. So you get the greatest potential to receive the gift if you answer the question. See, if you're never willing to answer the question, then you're ignoring it. And you have something great that comes from ignoring. Let me tell you, oh, it's so great. Let me tell you how great it is. You have a great chance of continuing in a spiral or beginning a fast decline. So you got great chances whether you ignore, whether you accept or answer. Which one do you want to do? I love it because God oftentimes doesn't say what you have to do. He just tells you what he wants.
Amen.
He tells you what he wants. I'd rather you, right? What did he say in Revelation? I'd rather you be hot or cold. At the end of the day, you choose which one you're going to do. And then there's something that comes with whichever you try to choose to be. Whether you decide to be hot, there's something that comes with hot. If you decide to be cold, there's something that comes with cold. So you can answer or you can ignore. Now, when you answer, it also gives you a better opportunity for connecting with God and connecting with other people. If you're answering, saying, you know what, do I need this financial healing? I think God will honor that when you say, you know what, let me assess if I even need this. Because, see, I may not really need a healing. I just may need to stop doing something.
Yes.
See, it may not take a process for me to stop going to Burger King 5 days a week. It may just take one step of going to the store and buying some lunch meat and some bread and some cheese. I already got mayonnaise at the house, or Miracle Whip for my northern brothers and sisters.
Yes.
And every day I pack a sandwich. I didn't have to go through a long drawn out process. I just did it one time, and now we straight. But when you ignore it, you have a better opportunity. See, there's some opportunities come when you ignore asking the questions. What's going to happen is you get a better opportunity for the same thing, but it's a different route. It takes you on a detour. So the reality is, it doesn't mean that if you ignore it, that you will never receive the gift. But what it does mean that it may take you a detour before you get it.
Yes.
I don't want. If my parents said to me, "Nate, when you get 16, I'm gonna purchase you a car," and then I said, "Ooh, I'm gonna get a car," and then I never asked what I need to do for the car, Mama, Daddy. And so then what happens is I get to be 16, but I got all D's. And then I'm turning 16, and I'm like, "Mama, Daddy, where the car? Son, do you realize you got all D's in your report card? I know, but I'm 16. I'm waiting for my gift. Why did you think that you were going to get this gift and you know that you got all D's in your report card?" Well, it's the same way with grown folks, Mama.
Yes.
Ain't no difference.
Yes.
So, what do I need to do? You need to get your grades up. Okay, so now I got in my mind, I'm going to get my grades up. And then here comes next year. How long I got? Hey, by the end of next school year, let's see where you're at. Then I mess around, I got, instead of having 5 D's, I got 4 D's and a B. Mama, I got my grades up. No, make it better. Let's make it realistic because it's going up. I got 4 C's and a B. Is that still enough to receive that gift? If they say no, Oh, you thought you could just barely get by and barely do something. Yeah, you did get your grades up, but you thought you can barely do it and that we were going to reward you for that? No, son. And see, that's how I see a lot of people's lives, because of all the people that we deal with. It's like, oh, let me just get just enough. And God is saying, no, I want to give you complete healing in this area. I don't want you having to struggle with the same financial challenges. If you embrace the principles of PRF and you set your house in order as the Word of God says, and you get your will and you get your life insurance, then you shouldn't have to come back to that same point of having to do that again.
Yes.
Right? I am one that nobody should ever, 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 ever hear. I'm talking about from now until eternity, that I didn't have my house in order. Nobody should ever hear, "Dr. Dunlap, when he died, he didn't even have a will." Nobody should be surprised, just like they were with Prince. Huh? He had all that money and he ain't, huh? He been teaching all this and he ain't even have it himself? That's how we embrace this whole notion of financial healing as a gift. He's trying to heal us. God is trying to heal us in various different ways. And how he's trying to heal us is by providing what he's providing right now to you. He just wants you to embrace it. It's a gift. Every one of you listening right now had not to pay for it. It's a gift. We give it freely. We give of our time freely. Time away from our families, freely. Time when we're tired, freely. Time when there's other stuff we could be doing, like watching the game, freely. I get to it in an hour, whatever. They ain't putting no money in my pocket anyway. Freely. And I said something else. When you have to go on the detours because you don't accept the gift, you still may get there. But, oh, do you recognize what the detour is going to take you to?
Yes, that's good.
See, you took the detour, but you're still calling on God, "I need you to heal me, I need you to heal me." And then you say, "You ain't doing nothing, God." And God is saying, yes, I am. I'm watching you on that detour that you chose to take. You chose to go left. I had sent somebody to tell you to go right, but then you listen to some other joker and you decide to go left. And so, yeah, I'm with you. I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. And I'm going to watch you go through this. So just ask me for strength because you're going to deal with this financial challenge right now. I know this is about to happen in real life, y'all. You're about to deal with this financial challenge. And so you're going to get there. So now that means there's more of us that God has to use to try to help keep you encouraged. But that means there's also less that's going to be there to help you because people are not going to know about it if you have pride, if you have shame, if you have guilt, all of those other root cause indicators, all those other emotions that's going on, and you never say anything to anybody. See, we're dealing with a lot of people now, Mama, that are in the detour phase.
Yes.
And so if you're in the detour phase, then you need somebody to walk with you. You need somebody to help you along this way. So if a joker ain't trying to help you along a path that you need to be going on, that you're trying to get to, even though you're on a detour, all you got to do is just wait for the little GPS to be like, recalculating. You know the little lady's talking about pre-routing. Recalculating. And then you follow that path. You make a phone call to somebody and say, you know what, I took a wrong, I took the detour, I went to the left, I should have went to the right, it's going to cost me another 15 minutes. And then what we're supposed to be doing as the body, we're supposed to say, okay, I'm here when you get here.
Yeah.
That's what we're saying as you're going through this, as you went on the detour and didn't embrace the gift. I'm here when you get here. Somebody may need to say, well, hold on, stay right there because it's not too safe. And I know you don't know where you're going, clearly. So how about you just stay there, like coming to my house, Mama?
Yes.
Nobody picks up at my house on accident. I live out, I'm just back all up in these little roads. If I don't give you a strip map, and some folk can't even follow the strip map. I remember years ago, folks had stuff over at the house, and I drew strip maps, and folks still get lost. I said, go to the right, and they done went to the left. And now they're in a circle going back the opposite way. Stay right there. I'm going to come and get you. Tell me what you see on your left. Tell me what you see on your right. That's how we love one another. That's one of those ways that we receive this spiritual gift, because those who have been given the spiritual gifts from God are there to help one another, help each other. That's what we're supposed to do. So if I'm willing to do that, then now I'm a good possessor of the gift from the one who ultimately has given the gift.
And may I interject here?
Go ahead, Mama.
1 Corinthians 12 again, 19 says, 20 says, it says, but now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow a more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked. Oh, that's good. That there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And that's just a confirmation of what you were just, discussing with us.
What you just said was from the last part, I think, right? That's when you say no schism in the body, that's around verse 25, it should be no schism in the body. So now let me ask a question. Again, you got to ask a question, because when we ask the question, now you're only going to be one of two groups of people. You're going to be the ones who answer, the ones who ignore. Is there schism in your body of your church house? I'm not asking you, Mom. You ain't got to answer that. You can if you want to. But those of you who are listening, is there some schism in your own church house?
Which means division. Yes.
Lack of harmony. Is there schism within your own family household? regarding possession, resource, and finances. Now, when you answer the question, again, you open up and you have a greater opportunity for God to do something. But if you ignore it, then you're giving yourself a greater opportunity for God to allow something to happen. See, folks, don't blame everything on the devil. Look to God, because God has to give the enemy the authority to do something. Just like Job. Yep, just you can't touch the hair on his head. You can't kill him, but you can sure jack him up. And Job got jacked up. And that's where a lot of folks are that we've been dealing with, that we've dealt with, that are out there listening, that are quiet behind the scenes, that are in the pulpit preaching to you, that are in government positions and all of the like, going through it. But people don't know it. People don't know why people are going through certain things. So we can't have this division, right? If you got hungry, yeah. If there's hungry people in your church, but yet there's a food bank in your city, then some people should be receiving from that gift of generosity that comes from the food bank that's willing to give people who are hungry. But you can't be the one not wanting, quote unquote, your folk to go over to that church to receive that gift, because now you have blocked the gift of God. God going to get you. I don't think some people realize that. God going to get you. You block something that God is trying to do, and think he's going to be like, oh, okay. You mess up something that God is doing, and think he's going to be like, okay. You just disrupting stuff. Let me give you a picture of what that looks like. Do you think that if you get up on church on Sunday morning and you just decide to walk your tail up in the pulpit, pass, I got this. You think he gonna be like, he or she, you think they're going to be like, oh, okay, go ahead, sure. Sure, brother, sister Mary, go ahead, sure. Mr. No. God's the same way. You are not about to come and mess all this up, because God is doing too much for his people right now. And sometimes it may not seem like it. But the reason I think it doesn't seem like it is because you have people that are blocking the gift. Let me say this other thing about the gift as well. You have to be very, very careful of, and let me read it how I wrote it. If healing is a process, right? If healing is a process, and a process takes time, then accept the gift from God regardless of how small the package or the box is that you perceive it to be. If healing is a process, and a process takes time, then accept the gift from God regardless of how small the package or the box or the envelope is that you perceive it to be. If I put something in an envelope and I say I'm going to bless you, and I give you that envelope, and you open up that envelope, and all that's in that envelope is a $1 bill. How you react to that $1 bill makes all the difference in the world. If your expectation was, oh, Nate said he's going to bless me, Nate said he's going to bless me, and then you get in the mail a $1 bill, I'm not going to see how you react. But how do you react? If you react in a way of, what in the world? He could have kept this. Then now what I'm going to suggest to you is you didn't accept the gift. You took it. You didn't. Maybe it's a play on words. I want to make a play on words. You accepted it, but you didn't receive it.
Yeah.
You took it. You didn't receive it. You didn't receive it with gladness. Any gift that God gives, any gift that people give to us, they should be received with gladness. So you just took it, but you ain't received it with gladness. And so what if you and I were face-to-face? And I say, Mama, I'm going to bless you. And I give you this, oh, my goodness, when is it going to happen? It's going to happen 2 months. Mama, 2 months. Mama, 2 months. 2 months. 2 months. I'm talking about all every week, 2 months, 2 months, 2 months. And then next thing you know, 2 weeks come, I mean, 2 months come around, and then I see you and I say, Mama, here you go, Mama. Blessing from the PRF table. All of us came together to bless you on your birthday. And it's a dollar in an envelope. And then when we give it to you, we all together, all the rest of the team is here together, and we say, okay, here it is, Mama. Ooh! You know, you get excited with things, and then all of a sudden you open it, and then your face just drops. Like, what in the blankety blank is this foolishness that they've done? They done got me all riled up. What it is your perception.
Yes.
Because see, your perception determines everything else that occurs after that point. See, that may have been the joke that we wanted to play on you. But see, you may not realize that there was Shatara sitting there in her back pocket. She had one with a $100 bill in it. And see, now something has happened because we see how you reacted with the $1 bill. And now we're thinking, hold on, let's get a group huddle, PRF team. I don't know. She don't seem like she's too happy. She don't seem like she's appreciative of what we came together to do for her. You know, we knew it was more to come, but she didn't the small things. See, you go back to what Jesus said in Luke chapter 25. Like Luke chapter 25, he talked about the parable of the three individuals, right? With the five, the two, and the one talent. He said, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many." Then I think that's verse 21. Then in verse 23, he says the same thing to the one with the two. "Well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many." But see, God ain't going to give you the many if you can't be faithful over the few. And one of the greatest things that the enemy is doing right now in some people's lives is having them believe that the grass is greener on the other side. Believing that the gift that they have been given doesn't really matter, so then it's, and thinking they're going to get blessed by having a whole lot more. See, everything that we're talking about, Mama, is really about understanding spiritual warfare.
Yeah.
The enemy is very, very keen. The enemy is very, very slick in having people believe, God's people, God's children believe that it doesn't. That it doesn't look like that, so it's not supposed to be accepted. See, because the reality is that $1 that you had your old gas face on, that dollar would have been better if we gave it to a person who's living on the street or outside of a Burger King saying, "Can you get me something to eat? Not give me some money, but can you buy me something to eat?" And then they have a thing of gratitude. See, it's something about accepting a gift and showing the act of appreciation to God, the one who ultimately has given it. And if you accept the gift that God has given, regardless of what form they come into, and I'm talking about accepting the gifts, hear me clear, that God has given. Not your little girlfriend, not your little boyfriend, you know, I ain't talking about that. I'm talking about the gifts that God has actually given. When we accept that and we show God that we are appreciative of it, then we can go to God and say, "Okay, God, now hold on now. Every time I got, you know, over the last 10 years, they done brought me a dollar, and I just been receiving it with gladness. Now, Lord, you know I received it with gladness. Is there any chance that I can, you know, that you can probably, you know, let them have a heart of giving me $5 next year? Is there any way? I mean, I'm grateful for the one. But here's the thing. If you do that with the $1 bills, and are grateful, and when if God starts putting the $5 bills in there, and instead of every 5 years it goes up $5, then maybe next year maybe a $20 bill. The year after that it may be a $50. The year after that it could be $100. Next thing you know, somebody's giving you a piece of property, and the next year you know you got a piece of property, and now you realize that you need to do a will because you don't want that property to go to the state. Now we're working a process, and now it's all because we accepted the gift that God has given us, and we didn't even really truly understand it, but we just trusted God enough in that gift and receiving. We just trusted Him enough.
That's good.
I'm done. Mama, closing comments, additional commentary.
I believe that, you know, as we teach our children, I was looking at a Christian show, and the mother, they were home, and a mother gave $5 to the father and told him to give that $5 to the oldest daughter, which was 9 years old, and she was in there praying over her sister that was just born. And so when the father gave her the money, so she went around the house saying, "Oh, I'm rich, I'm rich, I'm rich, I'm rich." She was so excited over that $5. And to her, she is rich. And so really, it's the same thing. If I don't have a dollar and someone gives me a dollar, that's a dollar more. And that lets me know that, oh, God's going to give me more because he knows what I need. So now if I needed $10, now all I need is the $9 because I'm surely going to need that $1 to make $10. And so it's just, again, as you were saying, just being appreciative for what people do for us, because no one has to do anything for us. You know, if they can make a choice not to, you know, you didn't handle your finances right, okay, that's on you, you know, sweat it out. But for them to have compassion and all they have is a dollar, because I have been in church and have a handshake of a dollar, and that was good because I just need 7 cents more and I can go to the dollar store, you know. And so we just have to be, and it's been said often, you know, be appreciative for what people do for us, because we have to know that God touches the heart of that person to give to us, maybe, you know, large or small. You know, so it still comes from God. It's just a small gift, but it's still a gift from God. It's what we didn't have that he chooses to touch somebody's heart to give to us. So we have to look beyond the person and say, "Oh, my God, thank you, Jesus, for this dollar. I really appreciate it." And that's when
right.
He looks at it. What's in our hearts. Amen.
Amen. And so I'll say this as we close down for tonight, or we transition and go on a break for a couple of days until next week's show. Please be encouraged, y'all. Be encouraged with whatever you're going through. Reach out to us here at the PRF Teaching Ministry, 267, area code 437-7999. You can send an email to me, Dunlap, D-U-N-L-A-P, at PRF Ministry, which is PRFMINISTRY.org. Or you can send one to admin at PRFMinistry.org, and somebody else on the team will get it and respond and get you whoever you want to speak to here on this in this ministry. Go check out what we got going on for the rest of the year. Our calendar has, over the last couple of weeks, just started really building up and closing in fast on us. We're having several, in addition to this show that we have every Thursday night at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, we are also on 92.1 FM or AM 1420, which is in Columbus, Georgia. So we are live 4 to 5 p.m. every Thursday. Everything is on our website, so you'll see Thursdays are always filled up for us. If you go look at our calendar, that'll give you a better idea of what type of events that we have coming. So if you're specifically in the Columbus, Georgia area, we have or Phenix City, Alabama, which is right across the bridge, we have another cohort for our PRF learning sessions starting on July the 11th, Mama. Cohort 6F will start on July 11th, and we will have a teaching of personal financial inventory following Mondays, 18th to 25th of July, and also the 1st of August. We'll have another cohort starting up talking about with the title of Will You or Will You Not. It would be great if you can attend all four, but if you can only attend the first one, that'll be fine. You know, wherever God is leading you. Shatara will be hosting a webinar on July the 30th. She will be teaching on personal financial inventory. If you hear what I'm saying, personal financial inventory is critical. It's really critical to everything else that's going on in your PRF profile, what we call it. In September, we have several events that are scheduled for September in this area as well. We have a new facilitator for the PRF table or for the PRF Institute out of Atlanta, Georgia. Yours truly will be speaking in that individual as they finish the certification process that we have, and we're almost finished with that. They'll be starting to teach in the Atlanta, Georgia area. Yours truly on the 25th of June will be speaking at a prayer breakfast or a breakfast for a prophetic conference that will be the 24th and 25th in the Clarkston, Georgia, Tucker, Georgia area. So God is doing a lot of great things, a lot of mighty things, and we are so grateful, not just I'm just saying me, I'm just grateful not just so much for the team that God has placed around me, but also for the ministers and the leaders that support PRF, and those that are partners with us as far as church organizations. That means the world to me. And so now we still have a goal for this year. We are still about 20 church partners down, so we need to meet that goal. And so if you know that what you've been listening to, whether you're part of that 7 to 20,000 that listen on Thursday with our combined shows, or whether you're those who have been a part of the PRF learning session, tell others, you know, let your pastor know. And if this is something that you know needs to be inside of your church house, don't go and be that barrier to not say to anybody, look, this needs to be here. Maybe you don't want to say it like that to your pastor or something, but you know what I'm saying. Look, Pastor, we need this. And if we need to come and teach the leaders first, we're willing to do that. If there needs to be a phone call between myself and your pastor or any of those on the team and your pastor or your leadership, then we set those up. We are not letting any barriers be up for what we're trying to do and what God is calling us to do. We're not even having it. And the last thing I'll say is, financially, we have been very blessed to have people that have supported this ministry over the years. But in order to continue to fill the mandate that God has given to me as the visionary, as the one who God has just placed all this burden and all this joy at the same time on my shoulders, then we need your support. You know, we've not asked a lot of anybody for financial support over the years, but I'm asking now because there's some great and mighty things that we know God wants us to do as we continue to work for these next couple of months of this year and hit these 24 more cohorts. Then what has to happen is there has to be financial support given by the people of God for the purposes of God. And so if you want to support us, you can do it by going online. Everything is on our website. It's right there. You don't have to have a PayPal account. You can support us monthly. You can support us with a one-time, your best gift. Everything that you do, just know it's going to be to bless the kingdom of God. We don't want anybody to not be able to have us to come to a place because there's not funds there for us to do it. So, Mama, in Jacksonville, yes, North Carolina, all the rest of those who are on the peer ministry board, all the facilitators, if somebody needs us to come, we have been doing this for a while. We don't want it to be a barrier where we can't make it to California because the funds are not there. So you have the opportunity, my brothers and my sisters, to be able to support this type of ministry by being able to say, you know what, I want to support a cohort. I want to support two cohorts. And that way, when folks want us to come, we can go, and there's no question about it. If Shatara needs to go from Arizona and make a trip up to New Mexico, down in New Mexico, whichever direction that is, then we don't want any barriers. We don't want anything to come up where the people of God cannot get the help that they need. And so with that, that is my appeal, and I'm not going to make it anymore for the rest of the month. I'm saying it today, and that's all I'm going to say it, because I just believe that when you do it like the Bible does, like the Bible says, like God do to David, and like God said to Moses when building the temple, he just said, look, ask them for their hearts has been prompted to give. So if your heart has been prompted to give, then you'll give. If there's something that you don't want to do it by way of the website, you want to mail a check, P.O. Box 2584, Phoenix City, Alabama, spelled P-H-E-N-I-X, and we will get it there. If there's some other way you want me to drive up to where you are to come get it, or you want me to send somebody else, we'll do that as well. Because the kingdom of God is depending on what we're doing right now. Not all of the kingdom of God, but part of the kingdom of God in my community and your community. So with that, God bless you. We are so definitely loving what we're doing, and we're so appreciative of you. So with that, we say God bless you. Have a good night. See you next week, whether at 4 p.m. on 92.1 FM or here at the PRF table, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Blog Talk Radio. On behalf of myself and all of the others of the team, Mama and Shatara Sherwood, Adia Sanders, Brother Warren Feaster, and myself, Dr. Nate Dunlap, we say God bless you. Have a wonderful evening. Peace.